in the name of Jesus. Pharisees and Sadducees in the first century agreed on about as much as Democrats and Republicans today, but they came to bilateral consensus on one agenda item, the ridding of their land of a religious renegade by the name of Yeshua from Galilee. This was no small task. They got the Roman governor to execute him, even though the Roman governor had already declared this man innocent of all charges. And even after they had gotten rid of this religious renegade, the fanatic's followers kept teaching as if he were still alive, claiming that he had died intentionally for the sake of all the people in all the world, and get this, saying the dead man was actually alive again. They would have none of this, the Sanhedrin. They had the ringleaders of the fanatic's followers rounded up. They flogged them, thinking that would silence them. Instead, these guys went away with beaten and bloodied backs, rejoicing that they had been given the privilege of suffering for Jesus. Apparently, these Christians are people that you can threaten with death, and they don't take death as a threat. They actually believed this guy by the name of Yeshua whenever he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." On this All Saints' Day, we look more closely at just what may be the most radical of all the things that Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, which is filled with radical things. Blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and speak all kinds of evil against you falsely in my name. Blessed are you. If you are younger than I, and the vast majority of you are younger than I suspect that you will suffer much more for the sake of your faith in your life than I have for the sake of mine. There are times when you are criticized, when you are ostracized, maybe even demonized, when you will feel like you are being cursed by God. Believe your Lord Jesus, you are instead being blessed by God when you suffer for Jesus. And there are many reasons, but let me give you just four of them. Whenever you suffer for Jesus, you are reminded of his suffering that makes saints. Saints are holy ones. God is holy. You are not inherently holy, neither am I. And God's courtroom does not work like Pontius Pilate's. There is no one who is innocent who is going to be condemned in God's courtroom, and there is no one who is guilty who is going to walk away scot-free from God's courtroom, which puts you and me in danger of damnation. We are not saints, except that our Lord Jesus comes down out of heaven, allows himself to be persecuted, Herod attempts to kill him, as an infant, when he's grown, the leaders ridicule him, slander him, say he got his power from Satan. His own family disowns him, his followers abandon him, and still today we who claim to be Christians are not faithful. Jesus is mocked, he is flogged, he is crucified, and he is rejected. Not only by the people, but by his own father. Why? Because he was taking everything unholy that is in you and me and all the other people in this world, and he was allowing it to be put into his holy body. This is an amazing thing. The God who is all holy all the time becomes unholy on the cross with our unholiness. And now that your unholiness has been transferred to Yeshua, oh yes, and also because the holy God now has taken up residence in you. He told you this at your baptism. He put the holy name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit upon you. Why? Well, for one reason, for the same reason that companies sometimes put names on office doors. So you know who lives there. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, holy, are in you. Your unholiness has been removed. You have been holified. You are a saint. Your suffering reminds you of the suffering of Jesus that made you a saint. There's one reason why it's a blessing. So here's another reason why it's a blessing to suffer for Jesus. Your suffering reminds you that you are still a saint. Pay attention to the tenses in the text. This announcement is brought to you by the Exegetical Department of Concordia Seminary. Tenses matter. Jesus does not say, you are blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for you will receive the kingdom of heaven. It says yours is the kingdom of heaven. Present reality. You are not given the kingdom and made a saint because you are persecuted. You are persecuted because you are given the kingdom and have been made a saint by your Lord Jesus, like all the Christians before you. I serve a little congregation where we can still list all the people at each All Saints Day who have ever gone to be with Jesus, who were members of our congregation over our 31 years of existence. I will read those names on Sunday, and I will cry. Because I remember what some of them gave up to be followers of Jesus. And I know what they have done for me, their care for me, their love for me, their prayers for me, and their forgiveness of me when I have been a poor pastor to them. And this year I will add to that list the name of my own father and the name of a dear man named Wayne, who has been a part of our congregation almost from the very beginning, who's been a great supporter of this seminary and of our seminarians who have served at our church. He became something of a second father to me, Wayne did. We lost both Wayne and my dad in January. Scratch that, we did not lose them. We know exactly where they are. They are with the Lord, waiting for the resurrection. And this year, our congregation not only will remember all of the saints who have gone before us, we will welcome a new saint. I get to pour the water and speak the word as God births little Louis Charles as his own child. But I have to say that that water will also paint a target on little Louis, like baptism painted a target on you when you were washed. It shows Satan exactly where to aim. The demons do not need to aim at unbelievers, at unsaints. They already have them. They are not going to stop attacking you or little Louis unless you give up your faith, give up your place in your kingdom, and renounce your sainthood. Then they'll happily stop persecuting you. Otherwise, each time you are attacked, well, let me back up. You who are parents, this is the reason why it is absolutely essential. The most important thing you do for your children, even more important than putting food on their table and roof over their heads and clothes on their bodies, the most important thing you do for your baptized child is to teach them the Christian faith, assure them that their Lord Jesus has been to the cross and come out of the tomb for them, and bring them to their Father's house every Lord's Day. This is also why you are in chapel this day and each day that you come to this chapel, because this is where you are armed with the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one that are aimed at you. And when those darts are aimed at you in suffering, and when they're aimed at your children, you remember that you wouldn't be suffering if you were not a saint. It is only those who belong to Jesus who can suffer for Jesus. It is only those who belong to Jesus that Satan is trying to reclaim. So, yep, your suffering is actually a blessing. Here's a third way that it is a blessing. Not only does it remind you how you became a saint by Jesus' suffering, not only does it remind you that you are still a saint or you wouldn't be suffering, it also tells you where to put your reliance, like all the saints who have come before you. The greatest threat to your faith and to mine is not persecution. It is prosperity and praise. There would be more people sitting here today who will lose their faith because their Christian life is too easy than because it is too, no, yes, because they will lose their faith because it is more too easy than will lose their faith because it is too difficult. When God gives us only good, we take it for granted. We bask in all that he gives to us, but we forget where it comes from too easily, and we begin to fall away from the holy Christian faith. So I beg you to keep praying as your Lord Jesus has taught you, deliver us from evil, but understand you're not only asking him to take away the difficult times, you're asking him to give to you enough suffering for the sake of your Savior that you never stop trusting in your Lord Jesus, who died and rose for you until that day when he delivers you from this valley of sorrow and takes you to himself in heaven. If the people of this world are constantly praising us instead of persecuting us, we forget that we are poor in spirit and start thinking we are rich in spirit, and we cease hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But when we go through those difficulties and we are forced to rely on someone other than ourselves, then we turn to the one who lived and died and rose for us, the one who is reliable. Your Lord Jesus is not in the grave. He is alive and reigning for you, and you will be alive and reigning with him even after you die. Let that be your assurance when you go through suffering. Here's a fourth reason why it is a blessing to suffer for your Savior. It keeps you focused on your future, on Jerusalem the golden. We know not, oh, we know not what joys await us there. Jesus said before his return, there would be suffering among his people, that we would be persecuted for our faith. So when you are reviled because you trust in your Lord Jesus, that is your Lord saying to you, I am coming to take you to be where I am. Soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. Perhaps today. I, for one, cannot wait for that day when I no longer have to struggle against my sinful nature, when holy living begins to come naturally for me, when I can see the one who has saved me, and when I am with Dad and Wayne and those we are about to name and all the saints who have gone before us in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul reminds us that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing with the glory that is waiting for us, which is to say, whatever suffering that your Lord allows you to endure as his child, it will pale. He will make sure of this. It will pale in comparison to what he has waiting for you. I would go so far as to say, the more we suffer on this earth, the more our rejoicing will be when we are delivered from that suffering. So when you are asked to go through difficulties for the sake of your faith, do what those first saints did when they were flogged. Count it a joy to suffer for the sake of your Lord Jesus Christ. Do not assume that you are being cursed by God. Nope. Those sufferings are you being blessed by God. Those sufferings are a reminder of Jesus' suffering that makes you a saint. They're a reminder that you are still a saint or you wouldn't be suffering. They're an invitation to rely where all the saints relied, on your Lord Jesus. And they keep you focused on the future that is waiting for you and all the saints. Believe your Lord Jesus when he says, blessed. Yes, blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and speak all kinds of evil things falsely against you in my name. When that happens, do the last thing we would normally do. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Jesus has made sure of it. In the name of Jesus, amen.